Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Superman Sunday episode, and today we're going to be talking about Supergirl number 28. It's entitled Clone Wars. It's the finale. It's written by Mark Andreyko. We have art by Eduardo Pensica. I should say pencils. The inks are by Julio Ferreira. Colors are by FCO Placencia and Chris Sotomayor. And letters are by Tom Napolitano. So we saw at the end of the last Supergirl issue that the Kryptonian clones, the clones of Supergirl that Hokum had been created, were attacking Supergirl and the Omega Men. So that's right where this issue picks up. And Supergirl saying heat vision, super strength, X-ray vision. I used to take them all for granted. But when Hokum's horror clone mashups of me turn my abilities on myself, I guess I'm my own worst enemy. And we can see they're all manner of clones. We saw previously that Hokum was talking to his scientist and they were warning him about accelerating the cloning process and creating them too quickly. Hokum didn't want to hear it. He didn't want any excuses. He wanted them created as soon as possible. But what's interesting is these clones, they don't all look the same. They're not all at the same level of development. They're not all, you know, just straight up clones of Supergirl. They've added, they've mutated, they've modified. And the clones, none of them look the same. Some of them are, you know, stronger. Some of them have, you know, fins on them and scales and spikes and big fangs. And so, you know, based on what other DNA they might have introduced into the cloning process to try to make these Kryptonian clones dangerous weapons, we see they have sort of different power levels. So Supergirl is fighting them along with the Omega Men. We also see that the Omega Men, the clones of their former colleagues that Hokum used to sort of trick the Omega Men, they're fighting as well against Tigoor and Brute and whatnot. So Callista's calling out to Primus, can you reach out and break through whatever psychic control they're under? Maybe you can get them on our side. And Primus is saying, you know, I'm trying, but it's like they're dead inside. All their minds are saying, they're just screaming out one thing over and over, which is kill. So Riandar's like, you know, don't complain, Omega Men. We've faced worse odds before. You know, we have Supergirl here to help us fight. So, you know, just keep fighting the good fight. And Supergirl for herself, she's trying to figure out, how did Hokum do this? What allowed him to, you know, have this level of technology? He hasn't shown this level of technology before. And she's thinking she needs to find a way to draw all of these clones away from the outpost where they stashed all the prisoners that they freed, so that none of the hostages that Hokum had captured that have recently been freed, so none of them will be injured, right? And obviously they don't want the outpost, the sanctuary for these hostages to be damaged. And because of that, Supergirl goes ahead and pulls out Rogar's axe, even though she's worried. She doesn't want to have to use it because she, you know, came to the realization that the axe amplifies and feeds on anger. And obviously she has a lot of anger over the fact that, you know, she found out Rogal Zar is behind the destruction of Krypton. She found out that her father may have had something to do with it, or one of her father's inventions. So there's a lot of angst there. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of rage. And so the danger is every time she uses Rogal Zar's axe, that anger and rage would sort of overtake her. And I find this to be a really interesting aspect of Supergirl, because this is not the first time we've heard about her having anger issues. So often, especially in the Steve Orlando run, it's talked about how Supergirl's empathy and her compassion are really the things that drive her. And I talked about it even in this Mark Andreyko run, with her wanting to sacrifice and do everything she can to help rescue these Omega Men hostages and help the Omega Men. And I guess I should say vegans, not vegans. They probably eat meat. But yeah, help rescue these citizens of the Vegas system. How about if I put it that way, and help out the Omega Men, because she has so much empathy, because she has so much compassion. But maybe it's the fact that she does have so much empathy and so much compassion. Those aren't the only emotions that she feels very strongly. She's also, you know, because she's so passionate, anger and rage, those are also emotions that, you know, maybe she doesn't have a hard time controlling them, but she feels them really intensely. You know, last thing I want to do is insinuate that Supergirl is, you know, that stereotypical view of, that some people have of women, that they're very emotional creatures. And, you know, we would never want a woman president because, you know, we wouldn't want that craziness to have their finger on the button. I don't buy into that crap at all for 1 second. You know, everybody's different. Some people feel emotions more strongly than others. Some people wear their hearts on their sleeves and they can be male or female. So, you know, I don't buy into that. And I don't want to insinuate that Supergirl is, you know, some kind of fragile emotional creature, but it has been shown that rage and anger is something that she feels intensely, just like empathy and compassion are. You know, she was a member of the Red Lanterns for a while because she had so much anger. So it's certainly part of her character, but I think one of the aspects of her that makes her so heroic is the fact that she can focus on her compassion and focus on her empathy. And even here, she's showing how she can control that anger and control that rage. And why wouldn't she be angry, right? Why wouldn't she be filled with rage to find out that Rogol Zaar and this circle organization purposefully destroyed her planet, that it wasn't just a natural disaster and everything she knew and everyone she ever loved was killed? I mean, I would be angry too. So, you know, I'd be angry if I lost just, you know, a few of my family members. When you talk about losing your entire family, your entire, you know, friends, everybody you know, your whole species, yeah, there's going to be anger there. So even though Kara knows that this acts of Rogol Zaar amplifies and feeds on her anger, she's in her own words, she says, desperate times call for desperate measures, just stay in control. And she does pull the axe out and it does give her an advantage against these clones for the most part. But you also have to remember that it's been a long time since Kara has been exposed to the rays of a yellow sun. So as she's fighting alongside Riandar, she says, you know what? I could really use your help. I could really use a recharge because there's a giant, you know, I said the clones all look different. There's a giant version of her. It's almost like a cross between like her and the Incredible Hulk. And in fact, when it comes and attacks her, it smashes the ground right next to her and it says smash. So she certainly could use a solar recharge. Meanwhile, many light years away, we saw last issue that Crypto and Xandar were able to escape from Gandello, who we found out is Xandar's adoptive mother. And he's sort of worried. He's like, I'm trying, Crypto, to track Kara across the vastness of space, but it's too dangerous to go back there. We don't know what my mother's capable of, because he didn't realize that Kara was there on the planet that Hokum was using for kind of a base. And so he's trying to track her down. And Crypto's trying to explain, hey, I think she's back there. But he's like, no, we can't go back there. It's too dangerous. And even if we do go back, Crypto, what am I going to tell her? That I was sent by my mother as a spy? What if she won't believe me? What if she won't believe that I didn't really spy on her? And like, I don't want to deal with that. And so as he's looking at the screen, he does pick up a signal for her and realizes that, oh, wait, I do need to go back. That is, in fact, where Kara is. So back in the battle, again, Kara's trying to fight this Hulk version of herself. There's another version that's getting ready to use its heat vision on her, and she decides to try one last thing, again, showing the compassion and empathy that she has, and she tries to appeal to all of her clones, and she says, you know, if there's any part of me, the true part of me inside of you all, you can fight the rage. You can fight the pain. This is not what you are. This is not who we are. There's always a way out. There's always hope. I want to help you. Will you let me help you? And the clone that's in front of her that's charging up its heat vision responds with kill. And that pretty much tells Kara everything she needs to know. So once again, she turns to Riandar and says, hey, I need a boost pretty quick. Give me that solar energy. And Riandar kisses her. And, you know, immediately transfers a bunch of solar energy because, again, he's Temerian and they're like solar batteries themselves. And Supergirl's like fully recharged. Her eyes are glowing red. She's like, wow, that was a lot of power. And as Reandar releases her, he says, oh, that was the quickest way to transfer solar energy. Please don't throw me into space. And Supergirl turns around and says, thanks, I needed that. And gives one of those big sonic claps. You know, speaking of the Incredible Hulk, we've seen him do that a ton of times. And the concussive force of that clap throws all the clones back. And she's hoping that it will kind of knock them out and give the Omega Man and the rest of the Vegans a chance to sort of regroup. And instead, we see them all collapse and they're starting to break down. They're dying. And Reander's like, wait, what did you do? And Supergirl says, I don't know. The concussive blast, it just should have stunned them, not killed them. But on some level, on some cellular level, they must have been unstable because they're breaking down, they're breaking apart, they're dying. And Supergirl's horrified by this as they just kind of melt in front of her with blood and, you know, flesh just kind of melting off. And she's horrified by it. She's literally watching herself die by the dozens. And she feels bad, again, showing that empathy, showing that compassion, saying these poor things never had a chance and someone's going to pay for that atrocity, and that someone is Hokum. And she looks up and she sees Hokum's ship above. He's been observing the battle, and Hokum's like, uh-oh, she's looking at me. How is this possible? How did these clones fail? And his genetic engineer is telling him, well, we told you that accelerating the incubation process was a risk, that the cellular matrices would be unstable. And Hokum turns around and grabs him by the throat. You don't get to tell me anything. I'm in command, blah, blah, blah. You know, again, Hokum, he's an idiot. He's a blowhard. I don't even understand how he was ever able to rise to any level of power. He's so incompetent. But anyway, he tells his crew, hey, get me out of here before the Kryptonian arrives, because she's going to be out for revenge. And no sooner does he say that than Supergirl is there and breaches the hull and calls out for Hokum, saying, show yourself, you monster. And again, Kara's telling herself, keep it in check. Don't go full rage, because God only knows what this axe will do. And as the air starts leaking out of the hull breach that she created, she turns around and uses the axe to sort of seal up the breach and calls out to Hokum, unlike you, I'm not a killer, but I will make you pay for what you've done. And Hokum's trying to sneak away, literally crawling away. And Supergirl wants answers. Where did you get the cloning tech? You know, how were you able to clone these Kryptonians? And Hokum, ever the coward, oh, it was the circle. It wasn't me. You know, I know what they did to Krypton and how they used Zar. And I told them if they gave me the strip mining rights to Krypton, I wouldn't tell you who was behind it. And Supergirl's like, yeah, circle. Who is the circle? I want names. And Hokum, you know, he's a coward. He's going to give up whoever he needs to give up. And so he slips a knife out of his sleeve, and Supergirl's like, really, a knife? And she grabs his wrist, and as she's holding onto his wrist, Hokum's teleported away. So who knows if he actually knew the names of the circle. I'm sure he would have given them up had he known, but Supergirl's left holding his hand. You know, she had his hand by the wrist, and when he teleported away, that's all she's left with. And she does notice that there's a crystal in his ring, and she figures that it's one of Appa's jewels that she's sort of on the hunt for, that once assembled will give her the entire history of the circle and will give her the answers that she's been looking for about the description of Krypton. So meanwhile, Primus comes and says, Kara, there's something you need to see, and takes her over to the scientific lab area of the ship. And that's where Kara sees that there's all this Kryptonian cloning technology there. And she's horrified. You know, she says, here's the science of my people that's been perverted and ravaged. And, you know, I shouldn't be shocked by new horrors at every turn, but I am. And this, there has to be a stop to this. And she uses her super breath, and she freezes all the equipment and then smashes it so nobody will be able to use it again. Meanwhile, we see that Hokum, he didn't teleport away on his own. It was Gandello that teleported him away, because Gandello was monitoring and knew that Hokum was about to give away secrets. He was about to betray his agreement. that he had with the Circle, not to give Supergirl any information. But of course, he says, I didn't tell her anything that she didn't already know. I swear on my life. And Gandela is like, no, Hokum, your life has no value. And Gandela asks for his assistant, or her assistant rather, Hawkmon, to get rid of Hokum, and they teleport him out of space. And hopefully that's the last we'll see of Hokum, because he's pretty much a spineless, disgusting, terrible excuse for a human being. So meanwhile, back at the outpost, Kara is being looked after, and Callista's telling her, okay, you need to eat. And Kara's just trying to regather herself. And she's thinking about how tired she is. She's been, you know, all over the galaxy trying to find answers, trying to find out how the whole Kryptonian destruction went down with Rogue Olzar. And everywhere she turns, there's a piece of Krypton, or her father's invention, or their medical science. And it's all been made malignant. It's all been used to harm innocents. And she's wondering if she should even continue on the quest, because she's found all these terrible things. And Callista's telling her that they put the comrades that they found out were clones, the Omega Men that they thought had died, that they then discovered were trapped by Hokum, and then they rescued. They've put all of those clones in stasis until they can figure out if there's any of their actual comrades still left there, and they're not just minions for Hokum. So Supergirl then sees Riandar come in, and he says, hey, you got a minute? I just wanted to apologize for having to kiss you back there. It was the fastest way to transfer energy. I'm not a creepy leech, I swear. And Supergirl says, no, it was fine. Besides, it was kind of nice. You have soft lips. And Riandar's like, oh, really? Well, you want another recharge? And I love the little humor that Mark Andreyko injects. He's like, what? No dinner and flowers first, is what Kara says. And Riandar says, no, I meant a less in your face way, literally. Just give me your hands. And so Riandar does charge her back up, so she's at full power. And as he's doing that, Xandar and Crypto show up, and Supergirl's very happy to see them. Oh, you guys are all right. You know, I was so worried. Meanwhile, back on Gandela's ship, she's meeting with a couple of the Circle. Sardath, who's basically the leader of Ran, the planet that Adam Strange helps defend, and also the leader of the Thanagarians. And both the Thanagarian and Sardath are saying, hey, things are getting out of control. You know, we told Rogue Olzar not to destroy Krypton. He acted on his own. We forbade him. He defied us. And all your little plans and schemes, it's what leads to incrimination. If we make it look like we have something to hide, we don't have anything to hide. We told Rogue Olzar not to do it. And Gandela's like, you know what? You guys are blind. You know, for such war-obsessed races, you guys can be quite cowardly. And they don't really want to hear that. And they remind Gandela again, you need to stop this or a steep price will be paid. And Gandela says, that's it. End transmission. Neither of you know anything about true cost. And she tells Hawkmon to send out her message to every corner of the universe. So what happens then is Hawkman sends out this message to kind of the underground, I guess, of the universe, and basically tells all the criminals, all the assassins, the hitmen, the headhunters, that Gandela wants Supergirl dead, and she doesn't care who does it. So on the planet Ravenna, on the outskirts of civilization, the followers of Rogue Olzar are there. They've got his symbol tattooed on their bodies, and they feel like this is the call they've been waiting for. And they say, my brothers, the call has come at last. We must finish the holy work the great Rogue Olzar started many cycles ago. We must find Kara Zor-El, the last of the Kryptonians, and we must eliminate her for Zar. And they all start chanting, for Zar, for Zar, for Zar. So I don't know why they don't consider Superman a Kryptonian. Like, why? Maybe because he's there on Earth and they don't worry about it. Whereas Kara here is a Kryptonian that's out in space, being, you know, active member of what's going on. And it she looks like she defeated her clones, but now she's going to have a whole new army of Rogue Olzar followers to have to destroy. So we get the blurb. Next issue, the killers of Krypton finally revealed. So that'll be interesting to finally find out exactly how it all went down with Rogol Zar and why. And will Supergirl be able to stop the followers of Rogol Zar and make Rogol Zar pay for what he's done? I still don't feel like Rogol Zar is a particularly good villain. I don't care for his visual look. I don't care for his characterization so far. I don't know. I feel like Brian Michael Bendis just did a poor job of conceiving of him. But I very much have enjoyed this story that Mark Andreyko has been taking about this quest that Kara has gone on, because, again, it taps into the things that make Kara who she is. This anger that she carries around with her and rage that's underneath the surface that can easily be triggered, but also the compassion and the empathy that she's interrupted her own mission that she's undertaken. She left Earth and everybody she knew and loved to go undertake this mission, but she was willing to set that mission aside to help out the Vegans and to help out the Omega Men. So Mark Andreyko has been doing an incredible job of capturing those two very important aspects of Kara. The pencil work by Edward Panseca, pretty fine lines and great action. It's not the cleanest I've seen his work before. This is his normal inker that he works with, Julio Ferreira. So I'm not sure why it seems a little, and it's not everywhere. The art is just a little bit inconsistent, but it's a minor nitpick for the most part, and especially in the action scenes. The art is really, really good. I do wish that the colors were a little brighter. They're a little muted. And this is definitely, you know, very superheroic. This is a very superheroic story. You're out in space. And so I feel like both FCO Placencia and Chris Sotomayor, the first half of the book is done mostly by FCO. And then Sotomayor does pages 14, 15, and 20. So the vast majority is done by Placencia. And I just feel like because it's Supergirl, because it's such a classic cosmic superhero story, that the colors should be brighter, and they're really not. They're pretty muted. And I just think that with a brighter color palette, the art would pop off the page a little more, and it would feel a little more traditionally superheroic. So again, it's a minor nitpick. I think overall the art is strong. Panseca's storytelling is fantastic. His transitions from panel to panel are very good. I have absolutely zero qualms about his visual storytelling. It's really done quite well, to the point where the dialogue is almost not needed at times. And Draco, it's not that it's wordy, but I do feel like there are a few times where he could probably edit himself a little more in the dialogue. I wouldn't say that's the case for the first person narration from Kara. That works really well, but there's just there's a few word balloons here or there from various characters that he's basically telling us what we can see for ourselves. So again, it's a real minor nitpick. I think it's scripted really well. The humor in here is great. And, you know, like, when Riandar kisses Supergirl and then says, "That's the quickest way I could transfer. Please don't throw me into space." You know, little things like that. Kara telling him later, "What, you're going to kiss me again?" But, or she assumes that Riandar is going to kiss her again. What, no dinner and movie first? So there's fun stuff. And I think overall the scripting is really high quality. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Mark went back through and read it and he thought, "Oh yeah, I could probably cut this here or that." But for the most part, it's a really well done comic, and I really have been enjoying the whole Supergirl run that Andreyko has been doing. So next Superman Sunday, I should say, will be covering the next issue, Supergirl number 29, which, as I said, should give us the answers that we've been waiting for, the answers that Supergirl Kara has been looking for about who's really behind the destruction of Krypton. You know, why did it happen? You know, how much did the circles have to do with it? All that will finally be revealed. So be sure you join us for that. That's going to do it for this episode, everybody. I want to thank you for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.